This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We just haven't thought of intro music yet, and we wanted to get the show on as fast as possible.
So yeah, for now we're going to be, I'll be trying out a different intro song every single week until you guys hate me enough that someone can send in a song that we can use instead.
That's right. So this is the first and only advice podcast.
Suicide in the Starbucks, I gotta bounce, semen colder than Nod Box, half an ounce, frying up some stinky noodles, they won't hurt ya, when I slap ya on the buns like a cheeseburger, I'll put your mind at ease while I seize the cheese, then I'll tattoos on Ricky Van Veen, I put it to YouTube and DVD, swiping right on Tinder trying to find my queen, I'm an optimist using communism, grandma thinks I'm living with her but I isn't. Best believe I'm texting bitches when they ask to send them pictures. Zero to DSN and fast back. Then I get a text from my kick-ass dad. Said if I were you, yeah, if I were you, yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. And if I were you, yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, you should probably stop doing that.
Yeah.
Can you tell where he's from?
The mean streets of London, mate.
Close. Brisbane, Australia.
Close enough, mate.
Bris Vegas, brother. I will perform this live for you, he says, if we come back to Brisbane.
I'm trying to go to Australia so badly. Love that country.
That was D Heezy. And if we want to plug a SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/DHeezy.
Deheezy.
He just hit 9,000 plays and would love to make it 10K. So check out soundcloud.com/Deheezy for a nice Aussie rapper.
Cool. It's the least you guys can do if you haven't given to the Australian brush fires like I freaking asked you to.
Yeah, I hope this guy is doing all right out there. I mean, he did just write this fire song.
Oh, Jesus.
What? Come on. We're raising awareness in our own way.
It's only fair because California was on fire last summer.
And that was my fault.
Right.
That was a sort of a, I flicked a cigarette that I tried, and I was like,
into a bucket of gasoline that you dumped on a campsite.
Yeah, onto some dry brush that I found in Calabasas. So that one's on me, my bad. But thank you, Deheezy. Thanks to you guys for listening. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
Both in LA at this point.
That's right.
Got to keep people updated about our whereabouts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're here, sometimes we're both.
Right now, we're both. Anymore. You really never know anymore.
How's your foot post-surgery 2 weeks in?
Things are looking nice. Well, not actually, they look horrifying, but it feels
fine. You sent me a photo,
fine.
And your foot looks thicker than the other.
It's a Frankenfoot.
Yeah, it's yellowish.
I wanted to post it on Instagram, and I was like, this will make people too squeamish.
You think so?
It's twice as big as, it's weird because it doesn't hurt, but it's twice as big as my other foot.
It is. It's a lot. It looks like it belongs to a Serbian basketball player who's 7'2". Just that, a thick purple foot.
It is true that my swollen ass big toe is the size of larger men's big toes.
Yeah. And then
it's not like inhuman.
It's also a different color. I'm looking at it. It looks like a big pinkish, purplish, thick troll foot.
That'll be the bruising, bub.
And then to the right, it's this really pale, skinnier foot.
It's a dainty little foot on my right, and a thick little mutant zombie foot on the left.
And you're telling me this doesn't hurt that much?
I mean, it hurts if I put weight on it, but I've been walking around on my heel in this weird little boot that they got me in, and it feels fine.
Oh, so you're saying, like, the back of your foot is less in pain than the front?
Before, like, the front hurt so much that even putting weight on the back hurt, like, sent, like...
Transferred it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's, like, it's really concentrated just in, like, the front 4 inches of my foot. And as long as that's not touching anything, as long as it's not taking any strain, it really feels fine.
That's good.
And I took a shower.
Whoa, so, your first shower.
My first shower.
How'd that feel?
I was honestly terrified the entire time.
That water would get into the foot.
Yeah, I think I'm doing better than the doctor would even want me to. Because, like, even though I was in the shower, I was kind of keeping it out of the stream.
Yeah, you're erring on the side of caution.
I was quite fearful, to be honest with you.
It looks like a lot of water got into the foot. Now it looks like a swollen water balloon.
It's waterlogged.
Yeah, damaged.
It looks like it was plucked from the Titanic.
Knowing what the recovery is like, I guess you're not even fully out of it yet. But would you do the surgery on the other foot?
I mean, if I had the same pain on the other foot, I would. Mm. Yeah. Because it's wild. Like, I don't even feel like the resting pain that I had in my foot before. Like,
even with this pain, you can tell that, like,
that it's gone. Yeah. I used to just, like, have a dull, numb pain that I got used to kind of all the time.
Mm.
And now I don't have it anymore.
Whoa.
So I'm fantasizing about walking without any pain, and my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
But the first 2 days, I was like, I would never do this again. I'm in too much pain. But now that it's over, I forget that it even happened, and it feels like...
That's a very common thing I've seen with friends and loved ones getting surgery, where it's like, when you're in the worst of it, you're like, this was a big mistake. I don't want to do this anymore. And then at the end of it, you're like, it felt fine. And in a year, you won't even remember the pain.
Yeah, it's... Like, memory is just so strange, because I was trying to think of, like, did I really not have any pain in my body, like, during my 20s? Was, like, there had to be things that were
chronic,
frustrating
pains,
at least. But you look back and just everything feels so carefree and good.
Yeah.
Like, even the times when I was depressed in my life, I'm like, oh, that was the golden years.
It seems like humans have a problem with when you're in something, it feels like that's permanent or that's, like, everywhere. Like, I was feeling under the weather on Friday. And I, like, saw somebody, like, going for a jog. It's like, how can you do that? How can you ever be healthy enough
to run? We'll never be well again.
Yeah, you just, and when you're hungry, you can't imagine being full. And when you're full, you can't imagine being hungry. It's just, like, whatever your current state is, it's hard for you to imagine in the future or in the past.
It's interesting. We're, like, some of the most creative thinkers in the world. Mm-hmm. Not we, me and you. I guess,
just
like,
me. You mean just I am.
As human beings. But then we're so...
Short-sighted.
We have no imagination.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being hungry. Well, you were actually hungry just before you had that all the fried rice.
And now you're so stuffed, you think you can't imagine ever eating again. That's how I get when I'm hungover. I'm like, I never want to drink again.
Yeah.
Because I'm currently feeling bad, and I just assume I'll always feel this bad.
Lord knows I say that most Sundays.
Mm-hmm. I saw this tweet that had a video that explained that chimpanzees have amazing short-term memory. And it had them, like, doing this computer program where it would flash 1 through 10 on a screen in different locations, and then the numbers would go away, and the chimp would remember where the numbers were.
Wow.
And, like, humans can't even do that. And they're like, because, like, thousands of years ago, evolution divided us into two groups. Like, one of us learned how to talk and the other one's got, like, amazing short-term memory. So humans, while we can talk to each other, like you said, be creative, we have very bad short-term memory.
Interesting.
Loss.
So, like, a chimp could meet someone at a party and then say bye and use their name if they knew how to talk.
Yeah, there's never, like, where did we meet? How do I know you from? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went on 4 Bumble dates and you met my mom.
Really?
Damn it.
But at least I can speak to you, Mace.
That's very interesting.
Thanks, man.
You didn't do anything. You sort of just regurgitated the tweet.
It's called the Blumenfeld Theory.
No, it's not.
And it's actually named after my Twitter account.
At Blumenfeld Theory?
That's right. It's the twitter.com/Blumenfeld Theory. All right, let's see if we can answer some questions here.
Why not?
We got some real questions from real people. Going to give them fake names, of course, to preserve their anonymity.
You got to.
This guy's been with his girlfriend for about 9 months, and he's an avid Reddit user and recently came across a subreddit. So what should we call this guy?
r/ soon to be single.
Nice.
Sorry.
I've been with my girlfriend for 9 months and I'm an avid Reddit user and recently came across the subreddit r/popping. It's a zit popping Reddit.
I could have deduced that, I guess.
I'm not too sure, but I find it relaxing and I hope, and it helps me kick back. My girlfriend saw me watching a video on it and called me absolutely disgusting. She compared me to the guy from Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, that's the guy that like murdered cats?
I'm not quite sure. I know there's a documentary called that. I don't know what it's about.
I believe this dude, it's a documentary about a guy that like kills cats.
Got it.
On Reddit.
Basically, she says he's a monster.
Okay.
She said I should go to therapy, which is an idea I'm pondering with anyway. I don't know what to do. This is our first major issue in our relationship. Thanks. Love, r/.
Soon to be single. I actually don't think he's going to be single. I think this is going to be fine. Mm. If this is your first major issue, then congratulations. You still don't have a major issue.
You don't think her being so disgusted and saying you have to go to therapy for this is a major issue?
I wonder if he's overthinking her reaction. Like if she was just like, oh my God, that's disgusting. You should go to therapy.
Yeah.
And now she's not thinking about it anymore. Mm. But because it's like something that was personal to him.
I see.
It feels like it's a bigger deal than it is.
That's cool. So he's like, he's the one who's blowing things out of proportion, not her.
Popping things out of proportion.
Nice.
Yeah. I would probably, if this were me, I would just be like, I would sort of treat it almost like porn. Or a guilty pleasure.
It is kind of like porn. You see these like intimate moments. And you're like, oh, ooh, ah. And it's like sort of scratching and tickling weird parts of your brain and dick.
Huh?
Do you like zit popping vids?
I don't.
Can I show you one from r/popping?
Sure.
Like, would you be too gross to watch it?
I wouldn't be grossed out. I just don't really think it does anything. I guess I'm like fascinated but not interested. Is that possible?
Yeah. It was a thing.
I remember Streeter and Sarah used to fucking love it.
Yeah. There's like websites. Oh, look at that. That caterpillar.
Oh, wow.
There was a website.
It doesn't do anything for me, though.
Back when websites existed, there was one called Pop That Zit or PopMyZit.com.
Yeah, Pop That Zit. That was Streeter fucking was watching somebody just like get a fucking snake bite.
Like lancing a boil.
Some of them are not zits. Some of them are like fucking crazy cysts.
Yeah. It goes beyond just popping. Mm-hmm. Popping is too playful for what was going down, which was a guy like setting a little like needle on fire and lancing something.
Right. I mean, there's that shit is. It was
popping off is what it was popping.
You like it. You clearly like it.
I don't like it enough to actively seek it out, but when I see it, I'm like, ooh, I'm curious. I'm like, I don't know what it is. It's a weird level of excitement.
Do you like popping zits, right? Mm. We've popped each other's zits on our backs and necks.
Yeah.
We'll get into that shit.
Yeah.
I like popping one of your big old backs. I'm not into watching. I'm into fucking doing.
Just
I like
fucking
to work
squeezing.
With my hands. Yeah. I want to pop that zit.
Remember
I want to stand
and Amir,
on the sidelines.
Jake and Amir video idea I had that we never shot. Which was you popping a zit on my back, and then it's like the POV of the zit, and I would like throw like vanilla pudding in your face. Like it would like explode so thick. It would be like a goop of pus.
Oh, we should do that. Because then you should start like spraying me with like red paint too. Like it's bleeding. Oh! Oh my God. Cover it!
It's a life of its own. Yeah, I do like popping, especially on myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On others, fine. And then seeing the videos is, you know, a whole different thing. But this guy, I guess, got in, quote, trouble from his girlfriend. You're saying maybe she's just being playful a little bit.
Yeah, I could imagine that she's just razzing him, just ribbing him a little bit about it. I don't think you should defend it and be like, no, I love these zit videos. Don't turn it into a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of... If she's like, that's disgusting, you need therapy, he could just be like, haha, all right, I won't show you when I watch that anymore.
But everybody needs therapy, so I will go, but I barely think the popping thing will come up.
Definitely don't go to therapy and say that it's because of the popping. Don't let your girlfriend think that she sent you to therapy because you have like a problem with zit pop. Also, like, look at the sidebar of that Reddit. Like, how many people are in that Reddit? I bet it's a fuck ton.
It didn't look very active. I don't know. Let me check it out. r/popping. Shout out to Jake and Amir Reddit, r/Jake and Amir, which is popping. This one only has, I guess it's pretty high, 240,000 members.
Yeah, so I feel like if your girlfriend is like, you're disgusting, be like, well, me and 240,000 other members disagree.
Yeah.
48,000 of whom are online right now.
You think the pus that's coming out of these zits is the same as like mucus coming out of my nose? Like, how much white paste can I create from my body? Is it that different, those two things?
I feel really stupid because I truly like just read about this in
what if snot and pus were two different things?
It's not snot and pus. I think it's like a blocked
it's a blocked
pore. Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's a blocked pore, and you can't sweat it out.
It's solidified oil or something.
Okay.
Like the oil that your skin makes, it gets like stopped all in one location.
Right.
But is that oil the same as mucus? The same as snot?
I don't think it's the same as snot, but it's sweat. I don't think it's the same as snot. I'm not sure what snot is, to be honest, though.
Snot, I remember, is like protein and sugar or something. Like mucus is like short for like mucus polysaccharide or something like that.
And your nose makes that to...
I think your whole body makes it.
Makes mucus.
Yeah.
Oh, is like mucus membrane.
I think is snot.
We got to get a doctor on here.
If you think mucus is snot, it's snot.
Very good. Shout out to Dr. Presley, my buddy. I'm going to get her on this podcast.
You think she knows the answer to this stuff?
Probably.
I mean, you talk to doctors. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Look at the guy who cut you up.
Yeah, I mean, that guy didn't know fuck all.
Nice.
He didn't know fuck all at all. I have four toes. They're all swollen. He jacked my pinky toe.
Were you able to text your doctor the other day?
I did text my doctor the other day, and he told me he couldn't get me the meds. Yeah. I forgot my medicine in...
Zaddy's juice.
I forgot it in New York. And I'm in L.A., and my foot was hurting. I was like, all right, so I'll just... Oh, I don't have it. And then
ruffling through your backpack like a fiend.
But like when you're texting somebody like, oh, I forgot my pills. Can you write me a new prescription? You really seem, it's not a good look.
Yeah, no matter how many times you write LOL in the text. I bet you think I'm a fucking addict. Ha ha.
I just need it.
LOL.
Is all.
Because I'm in pain, doc. So he said I can't do it.
Yeah, I guess he couldn't do it unless it was in New York or an adjacent state. But I asked your dad, who said I could just pick up ibuprofen and take three of them. Yeah. And I did that, and I took four.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tylenol, Motrin?
Just the straight-up ibuprofen.
Yeah. Classic. Name, not even like the name brand shit.
Yeah, it was
just
like
the fucking chemical.
Yeah, the CVS brand.
Straight
ibuprofen.
Up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I do ibuprofen.
Nice.
Why?
Your hands are trembling a little bit.
If you could text your father again.
Yeah, he just says take an Advil or something. Do we have any here? All right, let's take a break. Jake will get fucking roided up or whatever he needs.
And, that's right. I'm doing steroids.
We'll thank some sponsors. We'll come back with more questions and answers after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got
award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. Rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
On to less sooner than five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about something that I'm doing.
Oh, here
I don't
we
wanna,
go. This is the Scientology
I
shit.
Don't want to preach too much about going clear.
But do you guys feel stress? I'm serious. Do you ever feel stress?
Can you take a free stress test really quick? Can I give you a free stress test?
Yeah, I guess. Give me a free stress test.
I have recently started eating a mostly plant-based diet.
Whole food plant-based?
Yeah, whole food plant-based, vegan adjacent, vegan-ish. I'm calling it Megan because it's mostly vegan. And it's also a diet for me. So you can fuck off if it's not vegan enough for you.
It's a diet for my friend Megan.
I watched a documentary when I was recovering from my surgery. So I'm in a vulnerable state here.
You've already changed your diet according to some documentaries before. This is not your first documentary turns you into a thing.
I am quite impressionable. I'm a documentarian's dream.
Yeah. Give me 90 minutes and I'll change what I eat for you.
Well, because I am always looking for diets.
Yeah, like, to be healthier.
Yeah, and I like to try different ones. When I did the year of my wedding, I cut out grains entirely. No sugar, no grains for basically a whole year.
Wow.
And I honestly felt pretty good on it, but I just lost too much weight. And then I was like, I'm going to just eat whatever I want and work out really hard.
The Billy diet.
Yeah. Well, not like what Billy eats. Billy's fucking Billy's insane.
Not as much as you could eat.
Yeah. So I did that for the last year-ish. Mm-hmm. And now I'm into this other thing.
Okay. So what is the thing? And what was the documentary?
So the documentary is called Game Changers. I'm in
Sounds
an impressionable,
like a game changer.
Yeah, game changers. I day after surgery, I'm like my most lethargic, lowest low
energy,
and I'm watching this documentary about all these like elite athletes, like the strongest man in the world, an ultra marathoner that like set the record of running across the Appalachian Trail. That's like two marathons a day for 75 straight days.
That seems hard.
Yeah. Football player, I forget his name, from the Titans. I think he retired now. But anyway, all of these people who...
Was it Eddie George?
Maybe so.
It's cool.
But I don't know. So I
awesome.
Yeah.
Eddie fucking George.
Cool either way.
In my doc. It's an honor.
I know his wife's name because she's the vegan chef that I follow on Instagram.
Got it.
So all these people started. They switched from like protein from meat based diets to protein from vegetables diets, and they all started performing better. They had like increased recovery time and better performance and stuff.
Okay.
So I was just like, yeah, that seems cool. Maybe I'll try that. Also, aside from getting shredded, it seems like it reduces your, well, it definitely does reduce your carbon imprint too.
Right, because you're not eating meat.
Yeah.
But without meat, where are you getting the protein?
Like.
No eggs. No chicken. This stuff is in all your meals.
I guess like beans, lentils, soy protein. The thing that got me was like, he's talking to the strongest man in the world. This guy is like, when you work out, you say you want to be as strong as an ox.
Yeah.
But what does an ox eat? they eat vegetables. They're vegetarians. You don't see an ox eating lean chicken.
And I was like, pushing the world's strongest man.
So like, oh yeah, that does make sense. And they were the documentary guy saying that the animals are actually the middlemen. They get the protein from plants and vegetables that they eat, and we get the protein from the animals that we eat. But right. We could just go straight to the source.
That's why I've been eating dog food.
They're also talking about they're like finding. People talk about the caveman diet being like all meat and stuff, but a new way they have of discovering and reading fossils has shown that cavemen mostly ate vegetables.
So are you eating rice on this vegan-ish diet?
Yeah. Vegans can have rice.
Yeah, but it's not like plant-based.
Yeah, like, I guess
can
that's...
Can you eat bread?
Yeah, whole bread.
So you can have like a whole wheat bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of the opposite of what you used to be doing.
I used to avoid bread at all costs.
Yeah.
And not like grains. But now I'm like, oh, okay. So as long as I'm not eating meat and I'm mostly eating vegetables, I'm not going to begrudge myself a fucking whole wheat bagel if I want one.
So you can have like
throw on a little cream cheese, bacon.
How long have you been going with this vegan thing?
What day is today?
The 12th of January.
I started on January 2nd. It's only 10 days.
And you haven't had anything? Or you have slipped a little bit?
No, this is why it's vegan. I'm allowed to have whatever. if I like want something, I'm going to eat it.
I'll have a salmon.
Three quarters of the time, I am vegan. But this morning, I was with Jill's parents and they had eggs. I'm like, I'm not going to say like, I'm not going to eat these eggs that you prepared. So yeah, I had eggs this morning.
Yeah. That seems like good. So it's like vegan with a lenient slant.
It's vegan. Yeah. It's my diet.
Vegan is mostly vegan.
Mostly vegan. If I'm cooking for myself, it's vegan. If I'm ordering for myself, it's vegan. And then if I go somewhere where like someone's made me dinner, I just am going to eat that.
Okay. So it's like a polite vegan. It's vegan without pissing people off.
Kinda. And I think I'd have tuna fish if it came up.
In fact, do you mind if I stop this record for a second and postmate like, sushi?
I'm vegan, right? Like most of the most of the time I'm vegan. Monday through Friday, eat vegan. And then I have a tuna sandwich on Saturday and somebody gets to be like, "You're not a vegan."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess this meal isn't vegan, but fuck you. You eat meat nonstop all the time. You don't care. You'll eat jerky at a gas station. You're willy-nilly I've only done this for 10 days, but I'm just saying it is weird that once you announce that you have like this sort of like holier than thou strict type diet that people imagine, everybody wants to poke a hole in it.
That's right.
Like, oh, you never have butter?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Sure, maybe like...
So if you're not vegan.
If I'm at someone's house and there's like fresh baked bread, I'll eat it. Yeah. And maybe it was made with butter. I don't care. I don't care at all.
You're a very rare breed of vegan that, quote, doesn't care at all and will eat tuna.
Yeah. But like most of the time, if I'm vegan, if I'm making like...
So I would say you're not vegan.
I guess that's...
And that's fine. I'm not saying that's bad or good, right. But I'm saying your label is wrong.
Well,
and then you would snap back at me and say, you're not vegan either. I'd be like, yeah, that's correct. I'm also not.
I'm Megan.
Change your name. Change your name to Megan.
I am Megan, okay? Because I do think mostly that it's good. Vegan. It's good for the environment to mostly eat plant-based. Yeah, and it's
I mean, I do agree that, like, I don't understand why diets are so, like, strict like that. Like, vegans can't ever do this. Like, can't you just eat less meat? Can't you just eat less grains? Can't you just eat less sugar? Why do you have to be like, I'm never going to have any. I'm never going to have it. I'm going to have a cheat meal and then gorge myself.
I think it's because people it's a slippery slope where you're like, I'm vegan most of the time, or I don't eat, I'm on like Atkins most of the time. I don't stay away from bread. But then you have a cheat meal and you're like, your cheat meal starts on Sunday, but then you're like, I'm going to have a cheat meal on Saturday night.
Yeah.
First meal Monday morning. I'm going to ease into my week.
Yeah.
Then before you know it, you're off your diet. So people like to stay strict to their diet because it's easier than going off and on. But for me, that's not the case. I do like leniency, like less meat. And for me, it's way less meat and way more vegetables.
What about Jill? You're at home. She's cooking food. Is she also vegan?
She watched the documentary.
So she's down to be vegan.
She's more vegan than me, but she's still vegan.
So she'll occasionally have the meat.
Yeah, and Micah's vegan.
What does Micah do now that he is by himself at home?
Beans? He cooks like Beyond Burgers.
Yeah, a lot of fake meat.
Fake meat. And I love fake meat. Fake meat's great. I had a soy riso burrito the other day.
It's easy Delicious. When you're contained and at home. Like, I'm only going to buy this. I'm only going to make this. Like you said, the hard part is I'm at a restaurant or I'm at a company dinner and everyone's ordering sushi.
Yeah. And I think since it's trendy now, it's gotten easier. Like, when I was like ordering food the other night, there's so many completely vegan places in LA.
Yeah.
And even the places that aren't vegan have like a vegan, a gluten-free, a vegetarian.
So what'd you eat Friday night for dinner?
That was when I got my soy riso burrito. Mm. And then Saturday I had like chips and salsa.
Question mark. And then I sort of
I felt
anemic, so I fainted, so I don't remember what I ate on Sunday.
Actually, I definitely was not fully vegan on Sunday. I had a croissant in the morning.
Of course. And that's fine too, because you're not vegan.
Yeah. I'm vegan, man. Yeah. I do like the way eating more vegetable makes me feel, though. You end up eating more healthy stuff.
Right.
I think. Because like
accident.
I used to think that you know, 10 days ago, I really used to think that like you need a big piece of meat and then sides.
Yeah.
And my sides were never that healthy either. So
Potatoes are fine.
Yeah, and chicken's fine.
So I've said this before, but vegans shouldn't be allowed to have French fries. Like, that's our food.
What?
Sorry. You don't get to have that, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, if anybody's interested in going vegan.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it, because you don't have to commit to anything.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like a pescatarian.
Yeah, just make a couple vegan choices throughout the week.
Yeah. That's a lot of people do that, like vegan until dinner or vegan Monday through Friday.
Yeah, like having two of your meals a day be vegan or meatless Monday or whatever.
It's, yeah.
I think it's a nice little practice.
Every
you
little bit
well.
Helps. I mean, I'm going to have a lot of eggs.
Eggs are the goat.
Especially goat eggs.
I fucking love goat eggs.
All right. This is a question about a groomsman speech.
Ooh.
Doesn't seem to be embarrassing, so I'll just use his real name.
Oh, wow. Getting loose.
I don't give a shit. My best friend is getting married next year, and I would love to have my speech written out scroll style. We've always loved your videos and became best friends because of them. Having the same sense of humor and always spitting off Jake and Amir inside jokes at each other. He's the sweetest person in the world, so I know this surprise would be the highlight of his wedding.
You should definitely change his name, asshole. You're going to ruin his surprise.
All right. I'll just bleep it out.
I'll use his real name. It's just a guy trying to make a surprise
well,
over
we didn't use
for
his full name. I was wondering if I could get some of your ideas for the scroll, i.e. what to say on the scroll or perfect rhymes to have in the scroll speech. Much love. Oh, here we go. Insert animal for first name and beverage for the last.
Okay.
Raccoon Pepsi.
Okay, very good.
Raccoon Pepsi.
Raccoon Pepsi.
Scroll idea for a groomsman. That's a big swing if not everyone at the wedding is a fan.
Yeah, I would almost make my advice to not do this.
Yeah.
But I'm so flattered.
Maybe this is more of a bachelor party idea.
That's fair. That is fair. Oh, yeah, or like I think a bachelor party idea is good. Maybe a speech with the boys before the wedding.
Take it from someone like who had to do a scroll at a in a serious venue by accident, me.
Yeah.
You don't want to be at number 9 drinking swine, butt-chugging a fucking Advil.
Which was, that list was top 10 babes to bone.
Yeah.
Which has not aged well.
And barely was aging well when we wrote it in 2012.
Though, to be fair, most of it was about, like, hooking up with, like, Ethan Hawke or Justin Bieber or something.
Yeah. But it was at a, what was it? We performed at a, somebody hired us to perform at, like, a Boston University, but it wasn't just a comedy show.
It was at a, it was like an awards show.
For teachers.
For some reason, I thought we talked about this on the podcast before. Maybe we have. It was like the worst show that we've ever done.
So it was just like a guy who was planning. I was like, oh, these guys are really funny. And we're like, all right, we're just going to do, like, whatever we usually do, which is, like, silly, weird sketches. And he's like, that's fine. I'm sure it'll go over well.
Yeah.
But we get there and it's like a dinner luncheon situation where everybody's at round tables eating meals.
Yeah.
Older ladies and gentlemen who had never heard us.
And they're getting awards for, like, campus social justice.
Yeah.
And,
nice things.
Just things that were serious, somber affairs.
The most generous teacher at the school award. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, number 4, Megan Fox. Munching on her naked box.
I can't believe we read the whole list.
At a certain point, I just turned off the shame part of my brain and powered through.
It was at least nice for me because all of my reactions were what the audience was feeling.
Like, how dare you say
this? You're disgusting. You're a bad person, Matt.
Stop talking. It's amoral. Yeah.
I think I started improvising at one point because, like, it just needed to go shorter. So
skip to the end.
Skip to the end, man, please. I was surprised you finished. I remember thinking that.
And not in a good way. Not like pleasantly surprised. Wow, I was proud of you.
Surprised, proud of you for powering through, yeah.
Yeah, like in a bad way. Like, you shouldn't have. But not like in a way that's like, oh, you shouldn't have. Like in a real, you really shouldn't have done that.
I bet the person that invited us was like not expecting us to do a really offensive list.
Yeah, so shame on us in a way.
Yeah, in a way. But we could have gotten a little more insight. So shame on them again.
Okay, so
oh, right.
List ideas?
Top
10
reasons not to be wed by raccoon freaking Pepsi.
If you do decide to go for a scroll, let us know what theme you want, and maybe Jake and I can even write a few of them.
That's right. We'll read it on the show.
That could be our gift to you. All right, one last question.
Yes.
Okay, this guy is a 24-year-old dude from Washington in desperate need of the perfect text.
Ooh, okay. Let's do this. George.
George writes, I'm currently in the Abu Dhabi airport at 2 a.m. on my way to backpack around Europe for 2 months. While I'm there, I have plans to visit my ex, who's 25 and French and lives in Europe. We're going to travel together for 9 days in Prague and Budapest. You know, do the whole hostel thing. Here's the tricky part. I'm in charge of booking the hostels, and I'm not sure what kind of room to get. Do I go for the cheap dorm beds for us, the private room with 2 single beds, or the private room with a single double bed? We have been flirting for a little bit over text, and I feel like we might hook up, in which case the single bed private is the way to go. But how do I book this room and tell her ahead of time without coming off like a sleazy ex who just wants to bang? I'm totally cool not hooking up also. I'm just afraid if I go ahead and book single bed private, she doesn't want to do anything, it'll be an awkward disaster. My request is for the perfect text to ask her what kind of room to get. Love, George.
George. Wait, so the three options are public,
which is we can discount
bunks, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, which is single beds, but in a private room.
Yeah, imagine 2 cots in a single room.
Yeah, and then there's
one double bed.
Obviously, you can't do the double bed. It's way too presumptive.
The double bed, it's like, oh, the one where it's like, oh, it's just one bed. I guess
I think regardless of like anything, that the 2 single beds in a private room is the best case scenario. Because if you want to hook up, you can put the beds together or sleep in a single bed together.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't even think you need to say like, what type of room should we get? You should just be like, hey, good news, I got us private rooms. We have our own beds. That's like the best sleeping scenario you could ask for.
Yeah, you're sort of avoiding the worst situation. One, we can get rid of the public one right away. Obviously, you don't want the public one.
Yeah, that's a bad one. And I can understand you being like, I don't want to like... But she's traveling with you for 9 days. And you guys were intimate before. I don't think you guys need like a public room barrier to hooking up.
No.
Or like you can easily sleep in a single bed in a room that's private and not hook up, and that'd be fine too.
Yeah, if she thinks you guys are going to hook up, then getting a double bed is like the wrong decision, or like getting two separate beds is the wrong decision, but that's not even like that bad.
Right.
If she thinks you're not hooking up and you get a single bed, that's not a good look.
The other thing to remember is if you're in charge of booking these rooms, she's probably not looking. She doesn't even know what the choices are. So I think the most gentlemanly thing to do is to just get the single bed or single room with separate beds. So that way there's not really like a, should we get us? I don't know. But it I guess it's a little bit tricky. But it's not trickier than like, really what you want to do is take off the table, take double bed off the table.
Yeah.
And then if you're looking at public room or private room, anybody in their right mind wants the private room.
Right.
So you just do that.
Do you so is the perfect text out there? Do you text at all?
Yeah, I wonder, because like you can also just be like, this is the room we got. I asked for a private room. They gave us this one with two. If she's upset that it's not a double bed, it's better to have her be like, oh, why didn't we get a double bed? We can share. And then you can call ahead and get and see if you get the other ones changed. Then for you guys to get there and it's a double bed and she's like, what did you do? What
yeah.
did you think this was?
Yeah, she's not going to say that if there's two beds. It's like, what? Two beds? What did you think this was?
Yeah, I guess
we're not going to hook up.
If you're like still concerned, you could send her like the first hostel that you guys are staying in. You say this room, like, hey, which one of these looks best to you? Because maybe there's like a price thing involved there too.
Yeah, so you're saying,
I think even if you're in charge, if you send her the three options and you're like, which one do you like,
thoughts? Thoughts, question mark, circle the one that you want to sleep in the
most. A tater for your tot.
So specific text or no text?
It's really what this guy feels the relationship is at. I'm trying to think what I would actually do in this situation.
You think you would just book? I would just book the two single beds, not even text.
I believe that's what...
If you put the situation on her, then she's in the same predicament.
Right. I don't think anybody wants to be like, let's get the double beds. And this is a... this is something you guys will have 9 days to discuss.
Yeah.
You don't need it to be heavy going into it. And if you guys hook up and you guys are both into it, you can switch moving forward.
On the day. All right. Let's try to answer one last question real quick.
Okay.
This guy's from New Zealand.
NZ.
But you can call me Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
I'm super fucked while writing this, but like most people, I need your advice with a relationship. I've been going out with my girlfriend for 6 months, and we've been having a lot of fights recently. Like a lot, almost two a week. Oh. I just graduated high school, and I booked my gap year trip before getting with her, but I've sort of delayed it because I fell super in love with her, and I thought I wanted to stay in NZ just for her and to go to uni. Side note, she's been with four other guys, and I've only been with her, and that's something that really bothers me. To stop being a dickhead and cut a long story short, should I just continue with this relationship and go through with all the fights and doubts, or board my flight on the 1st of March to Europe and fuck heaps of bitches?
Okay.
I'm not the best looking guy, but I give good dick. I love the show, and I have nice smelling balls, bro.
Jesus.
I'd really appreciate any help on this queue. Go OKC Thunder, by the way. They'll beat the Lakers in the first round. Fuck, this is a long email. Good night, brothers.
He lost you with that last line, huh?
It's funny because since he sent this, the Lakers beat the Thunder without LeBron and Anthony Davis, so I hope he wasn't watching that game.
That's awesome.
But that aside.
All right.
The real roller coaster of emotions. This guy's drunk. He even says so in the email.
Yeah.
It seems like he doesn't want to be with this girl anymore.
I think that, right, the options are like, should I continue with this relationship that's bad or go and fuck lots of, as he said, bitches? It's, I mean, That's clear.
Yeah, but he's also like a kind of guy that's only, he said he's only slept with this one girl, and it really bothers him that his girlfriend has slept with four. So I don't know if I really trust his ability to go off and fuck heaps of bitches in Europe either.
I think the third option that's left unsaid is that there's probably some work you could do on yourself to make this a better relationship.
For instance, it's unsaid jealousy, and NZ?
Unsaid and NZ. That's nice.
Yeah.
I think the jealousy is not a good look. I think that your general doubt in the relationship, that might be a source of the fights. So it's worth thinking about what's causing the fights and trying to fix that. And maybe you'll go back to feeling like you're in love with her, and then it's worth staying and going to uni. But in its current form, the relationship isn't worth not having that kind of awesome experience gap year.
Yeah, like you just 18 years old, you're fighting with this lady. You're not a fully formed adult yet, it seems.
Yeah, I think it's bad to compare sex numbers with people. It's just not, it doesn't tell the full story at all.
Yeah, unless it's like perfectly even and never really works out very well.
Right, but even if it's even, it's weird. I mean, it's not worth it. But I will say that in the grand scheme of things, four versus one isn't, that's like pretty, that's pretty close actually.
Yeah, you guys are both under 100.
Yeah.
Fuck, you might even be both under 20.
I mean, they are, right?
Hell,
They're under five. They're both under five.
Yeah, I was going to say 10.
Yeah, well, that too.
So five is even less than that.
I thought you were good at math.
I was.
I got kicked in the head.
I have a snot infection. So go to Europe is the short answer to this long email.
Yeah, I think of all the options, one of which he didn't mention and I gave him, the coolest one seems like go on your gap year. I don't think that a high school relationship, as good as it might seem, is worth bailing on the experience of traveling the world for a year.
And this guy doesn't even seem like he's in a good relationship anyway.
Yeah. And I will say that it seems like it's partly to mostly his fault.
That's right. That's also correct.
But congrats on your ball smelling good. That's fun.
Yeah, that's
cool. That's nice.
Go Thunder, I guess. You know why he's a Thunder fan from NZ.
Ryan Adams.
That's right. Well, Steven Adams.
Steven Adams. Ryan Adams is a singer, right?
Who hates New Zealand. You fool.
Steven Adams.
All right. Thank you for writing in. Send those questions and theme songs to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was written by D. Heasy. Remember that one?
Yes, I do. From Brisbane. Vegas, baby.
And who wrote the closing one?
I don't know, man. You get the emails. You choose the songs.
That's...
I barely even
quite
work
a question.
Here, man. Yeah, let's figure it out.
Mitchell Wells.
Nice.
Oh, huge NADPOD fan. Bring back Old Cobb and the Vicious V.
That's right. That's... Oh, yeah, brother. You get it. You've been on NADPOD now. You understand.
Old Cobb?
Old Cobb.
The Vicious V?
He has a really fucking sexy abdomen.
Has Hugo come up a bunch in the show since I left him? Like, do people talk about him in passing? Like, if you guys are walking down the street.
There's been
game?
Some good, like, Hugo art on the Reddit.
Yeah.
There's some very good Hugo fan art. Hugo's got a fan base.
That's
I'll
good.
Say that for him.
I'm thinking about doing, like, a Hugo-style vlog.
A Hugo spinoff.
Yeah, where it's just Hugo playing D&D by himself.
All of the biggest villains in NADPOD should all be in a campaign together.
If you want more If I Were You, you can always check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/JA.
By the way, Lonely and Horny Season 1 is up there now. So if you've been waiting till our Patreon was rife with content.
It is now rife.
It really is. You should go check it out.
It is officially rife. Sweet. And we'll be back, of course, next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Wouldn't it be rife?
Check out Jake's mom. They got a website with Squarespace. They got Headgum Geek without my face. You
This has been a Top 5 Podcast production. Go check us out anywhere you can find podcasts.
Amir is a chipmunk.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.